This episode of The Girlfriend Bracket is brought to you by Gathering Magic and CoolStuffInc.com. With free shipping on orders of $100 or more, a 25% buy list bonus, and their ever-popular customer rewards program, CoolStuffInc is the store for all of your Magic the Gathering needs. Friends and neighbors, this is episode number 67 of The Girlfriend Bracket. My name is Erin.
I'm Hallie.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Chris.
Katie, you're back!
I am back!
Yes,
I'm
here.
And I have internet, so that's glorious.
Yay! You're not using like a reactor to get online?
Nope. No, not this time.
How was your move?
Oh, it was good. My parents wanted to help me move, so it's been a little trying. I love my parents, but I was like, I'm ready for you guys to leave now.
But you're all settled into your new place?
Yep, I have a couple more boxes that are just like random stuff I have nowhere to put, so deciding what to do with those, but I'm all settled in.
Have you identified where your nearest local game store is yet?
No, there's only one, though, and it's not a very big town, so I'm sure if I drive around a little bit more, I'll probably find it.
You're just a small-town girl at heart. Like, what would you do if you lived in, like, a big city?
Well, that's where I want to go as soon as I don't have to be in a small town.
I thought you just preferred it that way.
Oh, no, they have some charming things about them, but I also like, you know, more of a nightlife and... like restaurants that are open past 10 p.m. That's nice. I like stuff like that.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't have weird things happen, like bears strolling through high schools, and like you wouldn't be friends with like the horses and the cows like you are. Like, what would you do?
I don't know. It'd be new. I'd have to be friends with like people.
Oh man, that's rough.
Yeah.
So before we get started talking about our topics that we've selected, I just want to remind you all that we do still have our contest where you can win the Geist of St. Traff playmat signed by all of us and the Girlfriend Bracket sticker. A couple more weeks for you to leave us a review on iTunes, a positive review if you love the show. And then once the playmat comes back from Hallie and Katie, we will choose one of the reviews at random and you will win that mat. So we look forward to seeing what you have to say about us. And we'll go ahead and get started by talking about the thing on everybody's minds, the Pro Tour. Did you guys get a chance to watch it?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. Hallie, what were your favorite moments from the Pro Tour?
Most of my favorite moments involved LSV casting Reflector Mage.
Ugh.
I love me some Reflector Mage, and I've been a Bant Coco player for a little while now, you know, it was definitely the deck to beat this weekend, and I was very surprised that a lot of players who brought it actually didn't do very well with it, or at least as well as they wanted, as they hoped. But LSV really went on a tear, and it was really inspiring just to see him, like, Reflector Maging Emrakuls at every turn. It was almost like, you know, LSV and Reflector Mage were, like, part of the Gatewatch. They were working along with, you know, Liliana and Gideon and all those friends to, like, take down the Eldrazi. And, you know, even though he ended up getting Emrakuled in the end at the hands of Owen Turtenwald, he put up a really good fight, and it was really good to see, you know, one of my favorite decks doing very well at the hands of one of my favorite players.
Did you see the tweet that he sent where he had the picture of Collected Company next to the picture of Reflector Mage and said that they were the best meld cards in the, in the format?
Yep, that was pretty great.
He's not wrong, though. Yeah, I had a friend who, we're going to talk about our PPTQ that we went to, in a little bit, but we had a friend who was playing in the regionals portion and he took Bant Coco and he said that he just got destroyed. And he was like, you know, I feel like everybody, you know, they didn't know what to do about it for the longest time. And then eventually they kind of wised up and he was like, I can't get anything off. And so it sounds like the people that were at our regionals playing Coco had a really bad time of it.
Mm.
Yeah. So Chris, what did you think of the Pro Tour? What did you take away from it?
Let's see. What I remember is falling asleep on the couch during the last match for the most part. So I was like, oh, and then what? Who won? What happened? So I only got to see bits and pieces of it, but it was interesting to just kind of jump in, you know, to matches, not knowing who was really playing, you know, just here and there throughout the weekend. And I just remember that I was watching one match where a player went all in with all of his spell quellers. And it was not the feature match. They were just kind of in between matches and showing the other tables. And dude just, like, I think it was Sam Pardy, just, like, rips a Languish or something and just, like, clears his whole board and gets all his stuff back from the spell quellers. And I'm like, oh, God. I'm like, this is bad. And I think that his opponent, you know, he had the spell quellers, and then I think he was going to reveal that he had something in his hand. Like, I don't know, maybe he was thinking he would concede, but then he was like, nope, Languish, I get all my stuff back. How about that? So I thought that was pretty interesting to watch. I think that was Friday night, late Friday night that I saw that. I was impressed with the range of decks that made the top eight. Seems like this team merge, I don't know if that's how we're going with it, a deck is kind of going in the different ways that people put it together. I know that Saffron Olive did a write-up where he kind of broke down all the decks and everything, and, you know, how Owen's build was so much different than other people's builds, and, you know, just the different cards that people are using. I mean, the fact that people are, like, using Grapple with the past, you know, I think that that's awesome. You know, some people were all in on using Kozilek's Return. I mean, how often do we see that card or people, like, you know, being all in on it? And even, like, was it Shaman of the Forgotten Ways? I'm like, who's used that card, like, ever? Nobody. And then there was a onesie summary dismissal in, I think, Owen's sideboard. I'm like, yes, summary dismissal. You're awesome. And I just thought it was really cool that it wasn't all Bant Coco decks. Like, there were other things that were getting a turn. And also, Grimflayer just ended up being really baller. And I was like, wow, that card. Like, maybe I'll have to try it. And then the other thing was, I know that there was, like, a big discussion about whether or not Blue-Black Zombies was just, you know, not maybe well-positioned for this particular tournament, or, you know, whether or not it could be a thing, because it seems to have a really hard time with dealing with Illyana. And I would like to see more Blue-Black Zombies. I think it's cool that, you know, it made it to the Pro Tour, that it, you know, made it as far as it did. And I don't know. Thalia's Lancers just seems like it's done some awesome work too. And just seeing the different builds that people kind of brought, even if they didn't make the top eight, it really shows you that there are more things that you can do with these cards. And it's not just Bant Coco. There are other things out there. And I'm hoping that people will take some of these ideas and run with them. It's like, you can make Esper. You can do that all day. People are doing this blue-red thermo, you know, deck, which is interesting, or this Naya legendary thing. So, I mean, there's plenty of ideas out there, I think, if people want to branch out. So I would definitely encourage that. Like, if you're just thinking that standard is all Bant Coco, clearly that was not the case at the Pro Tour. Granted, it's the Pro Tour. It's not, you know, your local meta. It's not, you know, a GP or a PPTQ, but still, you know, try to divert away from Bant Coco and see the other wonderful cards that we have available to us, especially some that are going to be rotating soon. So it would be nice to give those cards some love.
Yeah, I think people, you know, when you see decks like these at the Pro Tour, it gives a certain validity to them. You know, when you're, you know, when Average Joe was at home brewing, you know, they might be hesitant to take these decks to an event because they're thinking, oh, I'm not Alian Trazi, I'm not Lucas Blohan, I don't have what it takes to make this a thing. And when you see people maybe playing with a deck that you had an idea for, it encourages you to keep going. Like, oh, Team Mint Card thought this was a good idea too. Maybe I'm onto something here, and maybe that will encourage people, you know, like you said, to think beyond Bant Coco and to try these archetypes that maybe they thought weren't good enough, but seeing these guys and these girls play it will be what they need to work on them a little more. And, you know, Alian Trazi actually said something on his show the other day about encouraging brewers, you know, that when you see a crazy brew or you see a card combination, instead of putting it down, you know, kind of fueling that, and that will kind of create this butterfly effect where it's like, if you compliment one brewer and you encourage another brewer, that will encourage other people to brew, and then you know, the metagame becomes more diverse and everybody wins. And I thought that was a really cool statement to make. And, you know, we saw a lot of originality this weekend, and I was really happy that this wasn't just a Bant Coco Pro Tour.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Katie, what did you think?
So as I was looking through the top eight, at the beginning of, like, looking through it, I was like, well, it's all kind of the same thing we've seen. But when I started looking at the decks closer, there has been a lot of breakout cards, you know, kind of like what Chris pointed out. And what I was a little, not confused about, surprised by, was there's usually, like, one kind of off-the-wall deck that seems to make every Pro Tour top eight, where everybody's just kind of like, huh, I didn't think of that. and it seemed like these all kind of followed the formula, which was good, but I was glad that it wasn't all Bant Coco. All of the shells were kind of things we've been seeing, it felt like, to me. But I was really glad it wasn't all Bant Coco. And I was kind of glad to see Chandra get some more love, because we haven't seen her for a while, and she's one of my favorite cards in Standard right now. Mm-hmm. But I really liked the green-red ramp decks that were doing pretty well with her. And Hangerback Walker, I felt like in my mind I thought that guy rotated, but he's still around. It's been a while since we've seen him in something. So yeah, I haven't gotten a chance to watch the coverage yet, but that's my plan for Wednesday, because I have, like, nothing to do all day Wednesday, so I'm gonna, like, marathon stream it all. But I did see Randy Buehler's announcement.
Yeah, Randy Buehler announced that he's going to be retiring. This was his last Pro Tour. He just sprung it on us.
Yes, it was very surprising. I was like, oh, out of nowhere. Like, no, I thought there'd be a lead up, like, this will be my last Pro Tour, excited to be here. But it was just like, nope, this is the last one. Done. See ya.
Yeah, I saw the tweet. The tweet says, after 72 Pro Tours and 101 premier events, I am retiring from the coverage booth. This will be my last event. Thank you for all the memories. Like, Randy. Icon, legend. I mean, mm-hmm. Let's just give it what it is. Mm-hmm. It's very sad to see that. And he got a lot of love from people on social media as well. And we're certainly going to miss him.
Yeah. That's so many events.
Right? When you think about that, 72 Pro Tours. What?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's a ton.
You know, I want to touch on something you brought up, Katie. You know, you said that a lot of the shells looked familiar. And I think I agree with you on that. I feel like we really didn't see decks break out so much as cards break out. Like Emrakul. Emrakul was everywhere this Pro Tour. Mm-hmm. Liliana, the Last Hope. I feel like that this was sort of the event that cemented her as being a good card. Mm-hmm. You know, there was some, you know, she was seeing some play on the open circuit and people were kind of like, well, but we're not quite there yet. And I feel like the Pro Tour really swung the pendulum in that she's good, period. She's mm-hmm. good. I watched her ultimate go off and it was just nuts. And, you know, there were other cards. Ishkana. Yes.
Yes.
Ishkana is like making the Delirium decks. Grim Flayer, like Chris said, you know, Elder Deep Fiend. This was really the Pro Tour where I felt cards broke out. And there were just a lot of really good cards that got to see the light of day and got to impress people. I do want to talk about the top eight, though. So we had Lucas Blohan, who ended up winning the whole thing. Is it me, or does his name sound like a Bond villain? In a good way, though. Like he has the kind of name of somebody you would expect to, like, collapse the stock market and, like, plunge the world into, like, evil depression. Like, I'm alone here. Let's move on. Owen Turnwald, who got into the Hall of Fame.
Yay!
Owen, and his hair looked really nice.
Mm-hmm.
He had this nice little part going, and I was like, you go, Owen. I was very impressed with that. So keep that up. Sam Pardee's family was there. I don't know if you guys saw that, but there was an interview with them. I think it was on the Mothership or it was on Twitter, but it was adorable. And they said something to the effect of, like, you know, we took Sam everywhere when he was a kid and we showed him things and now he's showing us things and we follow him all over the world. And I thought that was really sweet and really lovely. So Sam Pardee is an amazingly supportive family. LSV, icon, legend, you know, we all know who he is. Yuta Takahashi, his top eight profile, they asked him, what would winning the Pro Tour mean to you? And do you know what he said? He said, I will be getting married in December. It will be the best present for my fiancé.
Aww.
Now, that's romance. I mean, forget roses and chocolate. Get in the Pro Tour. That's Ken Yukihiro, also from Tokyo, Japan. Andrew Brown from East West Bowl. Very nice guy. And Reduke. I was literally rooting from home. What? I hear you laughing. You were on Team LSV, weren't you?
It It swings. I don't know.
Oh my goodness. Did you guys see the game where LSV and Reed Duke had to, the first round where they had to go in, oh, at it to see who got into the finals?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. It was devastating. It was devastating. It was bad. And then they both got in the top eight. I woke up the next morning. I woke up Saturday morning, to get ready to the PTQ, and I saw that Reed got in the top eight. And then they played the match where Reed had to face LSV in the finals, and then he lost.
Hmm. Aww.
It was literally in the movies where you're like in the cornfield and you look up at the sky and you're like, no. I was so happy for Reed though that he made top eight. And he said in his top eight profile, they said, what would winning the pro tour mean to you? And he said, I've been playing Magic since I was 5 years old. Winning the pro tour is a lifelong goal. So
aww.
Maybe next time. So, you know, in addition to the Pro Tour, you know, they made an announcement shortly before the Pro Tour where they were announcing the new GP schedule. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple standouts from this announcement. The first thing that stood out to everybody is that Team Unified Modern is now a format.
Yay.
That seems super sweet.
Doesn't it, though? Like, Chris, you play Tron, I'll play Dredge, one of you plays Storm, and we'll just completely ignore the opponent. Like, we'll just put up our little notebooks like we're in school, and we don't want them to look at our answers, and we'll just do our thing. And we'll look up and be like, oh, you're dead now. And that's
we'll just be like, we'll just be like, Team You Can't Sit With Us or something.
Yes, yes. So there are going to be, I believe, two GPs. No, just one. So GP San Antonio, Texas, is going to be the Team Unified Modern event. And then the other big announcement is GP Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
GP Vegas is going to be happening in June of next year, June 15th through the 18th. And it is going to be three separate GPs in one weekend. So June 15th through the 16th is a legacy GP. June 16th through the 17th is a standard GP. And then June 17th through the 18th is a modern GP. So no matter what you're into, well, except for limited, but if you're into like a constructed format, you can come to this and you can play in a GP. Like, how wild is this?
That's awesome.
Is I'm it safe excited. To say that we're all going?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. It's funny. I was joking about it on Twitter. I was like, wouldn't it be fabulous if we had like the girlfriend bracket house? Because Heavy Meta's already started making their plans and Lord knows they rented two houses last year. And I was half joking and I was like, wouldn't it be funny if we got a house and like we filled it with kick-ass lady Magic players? And I didn't think anybody would take it seriously. But then I started getting really serious responses. Like Johnny Bailey replied, Serena Quinn replied, Susie the Gnat replied. And they were like, we're in. Like, what do we need to do? And I was like, we can't do this. There's no way we can do this. And then Hallie, you had sent me a message and you were like, I can bring my cube. We can cube. And I was like, can we really do this? And so I went to Airbnb and I put in like a Vegas house, like just for example, like I put in like next month, just as a for example. And I found a 4-bedroom house that can sleep six, like it had between beds and couches. It can comfortably sleep six people. And for 5 days, it would come out to like 200 a person.
Oh, wow. That's not bad at all.
That's what you pay for like almost one night in Vegas, but that could be your, that could be your share of a 5-day house. So I'm pretty confident that we're just going to be renting a house.
Yep.
So I'm fairly confident that the girlfriend bracket house is just going to happen and we're going to have cubes and it's going to be dope. And Chris, are you going to stay with us? Are you going to go stay with the Heavy Meta people?
I don't know. like, not that, like, everyone isn't great and all. They just are pretty, pretty wonderful folk, and I just like hanging out with them. So, but at the same time, I would love to, like, chill with a bunch of ladies that I don't normally get to see. So, I don't know. I would probably, I guess I would do our house and, you know, maybe sleep on the floor, like, like have someone from Heavy Meta hook me and be like, I'll sleep on your floor in a sleeping bag or something like that. All I know is that I'm going. I already expressed to Nick that I was like, I do not want anything for Christmas except for you to help me go to Vegas next year. That's all I want. All I want.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a really good time. And, you know, I love the fact that you can just play anything you want to. Like, I mean, I could literally, so I mean, the main event is the 15th to the 16th. I can dredge and the Legacy GP. I can scrub out of that. Standard is like the recovery day. And then I can dredge on Modern. Like I can dredge the whole weekend long.
What a dredgeful weekend.
Oh, that was good. That was good. No, but I think it's going to be fantastic. And if we do end up going to Vegas, you know, there is one other thing that needs to happen. Brittany needs to happen.
Oh, geez.
Because she wasn't there last time. She was on, she took the week off or something. So if you're listening, Brittany, you need to perform that weekend. Like, I'm there. Like,
at least I didn't have to ask which Brittany it was this time.
I remember that when we did that. And Brittany, you know, Brittany who? And I was like, why are you on this show? Although I do have to admit, though, that her new song isn't very good.
Oh, which one is that? I don't know.
Well, she released a song called Private Show, and it's not very good.
Oh, well, I guess I won't take time out of my day to go listen to it.
Don't take that 5 seconds to look it up on Spotify.
Nah.
So another big development that happened is they revealed a new Lady Planeswalker by the name of Kaya. Ooh. In a magic story, which I believe has to do with the new conspiracy set. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
She seems to be the assassin that we see killing Brago. Sorry, Helly.
I'm so sad.
Yeah. We finally know who she is. And this story seemed to be a home run in terms of diversity. We have a woman of color. We appear to have an African-American woman. She is smart, intelligent, beautiful. Chris, what did you think about this? You seemed particularly impressed.
Yeah, I really liked her story. So far the only one that is out, and that was one that came out last week. And I read the whole thing. I loved it. And she just seems like a character that once you've read the story, once you've read her background profile, like you just want to know more about her. Like, where did she, you know, get the abilities that she has? Because she's able to become partially incorporeal. And she's just like a super badass. She can interact with ghosts in the spirit world. And, you know, she had this contract to assassinate Brago. And it's just very interesting. You know, she's got these, like, little, like, daggery knife things that she uses. And, you know, like I said, she's able to, like, go through, you know, walls or interact with spirits. And it's just very interesting. And I would like to just know how that came about. I also thought it was cool that they did some consultation with someone so that they could really be true to her character and make it so that she was not going to be full of these different tropes or pitfalls that seem to plague Black women in the media. And so they reached out to a woman named Monique Jones and talked to her about trying to flesh out Kaya's character. And a lot of, I guess, her background can be drawn on from Monique's experiences or from, you know, just her consult. She couldn't really talk a lot about what was going on because it will be revealed to us over the next however many months here. And I'm excited to get to know, you know, more about her. And I think it's awesome that Wizards went this extra step because it was important to give Black women someone to look up to, someone to identify with. And I think that's really important, you know, especially when you are growing up as a minority, you know, you see a lot of white faces. You don't always see someone that reflects you. And, you know, me in particular, my situation is unique in that, you know, I'm biracial. So it's kind of like I have my own unique experience. So it's good that Wizards is trying to touch on our various experiences and differences and backgrounds and tried to give us each a little something. So I thought that was really awesome.
I loved the piece they wrote on their Tumblr about the exact things they were trying to avoid and the things that they were gaining by getting a consultant. Because, you don't always see those things. And I think it's good that Wizards is taking credit where credit is due because they did go the extra step in trying to make this character somebody everybody could really look up to and not just be like, oh, well, that, you know, they said in the article they didn't want to make a token character. They didn't want, like, just a token Black woman. That's not what we want for diversity in magic. And I think that the short thing that they wrote up just really kind of clearly showed everything they wanted from this character. And I think they did a really fantastic job of portraying that.
Yeah, I really love that they're working more with consultants for these types of pieces. I remember when they published the Alesha story. The Alesha story was written by a cisgender man, but they consulted with Ali Medwin, who's a good friend of ours and a member of R&D. And it's really great that, you know, they don't, like Katie said, they don't want to just create these token characters. They actually want to, you know, get inside a very diverse group of minds and show us, you know, these characters in the flesh. And it's really great that they've, you know, sort of opened their doors to collaboration in order to show that.
It gives the character more credibility, too, if you feel that it actually comes from somebody who has the lived experience. You know, so that's one of the things that Kelly talks about in his Tumblr post when he explains why they hired Monique and what she brought to the table. You know, he said, doing so effectively requires both critical and lived experience, and we don't currently have anyone on our story team who has that specific experience. And I know as a trans person, you know, one of the reasons that we get so upset with a lot of trans media or media that features trans characters is because nobody that's trans is on board. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of Transparent is a show that gets a lot of criticism because for a while there, you know, they were writing about the trans experience and you could almost tell just from watching it that, you know, the people behind the scenes had nothing to do with it. I know there was a kerfuffle recently on Orange is the New Black where there were some characters that were African American that were having a discussion and there were African Americans watching the show and they were like, we know there's no black folk on staff by this conversation because this is something that you can tell a room full of white writers came up with. And so, you know, when you have trans media that's made by trans folks or media about lesbians, it has lesbians on staff and same things like that. It just makes them more credible and it just makes it more authentic too. I feel like when that's not the case, you can totally tell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Hallie and Katie, I understand that you guys are going to Oka, Portland this weekend.
Portland.
Yeah.
Portland. What are you guys going to play? Like, are you testing?
Hallie?
Well, I was looking forward to banting people, but after this weekend, I'm really not so sure if that's what I should be doing. I have been looking at a bunch of the, you know, the decks that did well at the Pro Tour, and I actually like a lot of the ramp decks. I think they're really cool, and you know what? I actually agree with Katie on Chandra. Like, Chandra is a card that I would really like to play in Standard right now, and so I'm looking at, you know, a lot of these green-red ramp decks and, you know, think about maybe playing some Chandras and Dragon Lord Atarkas and some Emrakuls and just kind of going big, which is not usually my thing. I usually play smaller creatures, but I don't know. I kind of feel like trying something different this weekend.
I will be meeting up with some Montana folk, and I think Brooke is bringing a deck. He's gonna decide what he's playing. I have not kept up with Standard cards in a long time, so I'm kind of relying on him for some cards. I can probably tell him in the general gist of what I want to play, and he can make it happen, but this will be my first Grand Prix that I've played since Oakland, I guess.
Oh, wow.
But it feels like I haven't played one in, like, forever. So my goals for this one are kind of just to have more fun and not be as competitive as usual, because I know I've been out of practice with Constructed for a bit now. I've been playing some more Limited. But I kind of just, I want to have fun with day one. And if I scrub out, I'm going to try and be okay with that and then just draft and have a good time. It'll be good to see Hallie there. It'll be good to see my Montana folks there while I, you know, as a kind of a last goodbye send-off. So I'm going to try and just have a lot of fun this weekend. And, you know, I might not know what deck I'm playing till the morning of, so that'll be that. And we will see how that goes.
Oh, man. I wish I had that. But you're also the kind of person, too. I remember when we were at Oakland, though, you seemed to pick things up quickly. Like, I remember, you know, Brooke was kind of giving you a crash course on the boat of how your deck worked and how Standard worked. And, you know, you seem like the type of person who could do that. Like, you seem like the type of person who, you know, sometimes you read those top 8 profiles and they ask the person what kind of prep they did. And they're like, I binged watch Netflix and someone loaned me a deck and I ate some Cheetos and then I top 8ed the GP. And, you know, people like me aren't able to do that. But I think that's your, you know, you have that ability.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, I've spent a good amount of time kind of playing a bunch of different archetypes, and I try and apply those things now. And I know that testing with a certain deck, you can learn a bunch of nuances. And I've been really proficient with decks at certain times where I'm like, I know this deck inside and out. I know the format. I know, you know, what I'm trying to do and everything. And then there's some decks where I can pick up and I'm like, I won't do as well today, but I do know how this deck works and vaguely how the format works. And that'll be like pretty good. And that's kind of good enough for me. There are some tournaments where I like to test a lot more, but you know, with moving and not having a standard deck in paper or online, it's been a little bit more difficult. So I'm just going to try and take it easy and have fun this weekend and we'll see how that ends up.
Do you think now that you're done moving, like now that you know, you're establishing roots where you're in your new home, are you going to go back to the grind? Because I remember when you first started the show, you wanted to be, you know, on the train. That was definitely a goal of yours. And like, are you kind of over that or where are you at?
I'm definitely getting more casual. I'm not like a kitchen table EDH player level of casual, but with school, I mean, I'm trying to not die in school.
It's a good goal.
Yeah, I do want to try and make it to more FNMs than I have been. Like, I'm not going to be working a part-time job while I'm here, so I won't have to work on weekends. So I kind of have more time on the weekends to be, you know, doing whatever I want. So I'm going to try and get into the local game store probably next week. They said they draft every Friday, so I'll go do a draft and see how I like it and see if the people are nice to me. But then I would like to play like, you know, 2 to 3 FNMs a month and try and get back into limited, like that. And maybe I can convince them to have a sealed PPTQ, but it's definitely, I've had to prioritize a lot because every time I play Magic, it's like I want to be competitive, but I know I don't have the time to keep up with being competitive. So it's been a kind of tough adjustment for me. Like I'm trying to give real life enough time, but I want to give Magic a lot of time too. So, I'm kind of off the grind at this point. I was hoping that over the summer I'd have more time to grind, but we did so much traveling that didn't really happen. So maybe next summer I can like do a 3-month stint where I can kind of get to a lot of GPs. I saw there's some good ones on the schedule for next summer. So, you know, it's been a tough balancing act because I want to be competitive, but I just can't really commit to it at this point.
Right. Well, I know that you and Hallie work well together, and I remember that from our time in Oakland. And so if you can, I think you two should consider doing the Team Modern. Like if you could find a third you work well with, I think you guys could kill it.
Yeah. Mm. That would be really fun.
Yeah.
Or even just a Team Sealed. I would love to see you two working more together as I feel like you have similar goals and you bring out good things in each other.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So while you're doing that, I'll be going to game day this weekend because I am going to take a break from Modern. I've been grinding a lot of Modern. I figured, you know, the Pro Tour did what it was supposed to do. It made me want to play Standard. And when I go to game day, I like to play fun stuff. Like, I don't like competitive game days. Like, I like to YOLO and play something dumb and just have a really good time. And Caleb Durward is a young man who writes for Channel Fireball. And today he posted a video of a Mardu pack deck. And so it has, so Demonic Pact is rotating next month, along with Jace and along with Collected Company. Thank God. And so this deck is pretty much, you know, the last hurrah for Demonic Pact. So it runs Demonic Pact, Languish, 3 copies of Nahiri, Goblin Dark Dwellers. It kind of plays like a Mardu control deck, 2 copies of Chandra, which you all love. Ooh. 2 Ooh. Copies of Dark Petition, 2 copies of Harmless Offering. And so the point of the deck is just to kill all the things and then get down a Demonic Pact. And when you don't want it anymore, you give it to the opponent and you win the game that way.
Okay. I'm excited to hear about if it works.
Me too. And it just looks like fun. And I happen to have most of the cards for it because I traded much of my standard cards away. And I think I just have to pick up the Harmless Offerings and like a couple commons and I've got the whole thing. So I'm going to sleeve that up this weekend. I'm going to take it to FNM and I'm going to play game day on Sunday. Chris, are you doing game day at all?
No, I actually have to work on Saturday. I said I'd cover for a coworker, but I'm hoping to hit up a PPTQ on Sunday, perhaps.
All right, so the PPTQ that we went to, how did yours go?
It was interesting. I had to play my first round versus a person that goes to my local game store. I call him MTG Bay. So I had to play versus him, and he's on this white-red, like, prison-type deck, and it is It is a beast. I mean, it runs ley lines, you know, in the main, what? And, you know, a bunch of chalices and just tries to lock you out that way, ultimately Blood kill Moon. You. Yeah, and Blood Moon. And then tries to kill you with a Johnny Vengeant, Nahiri, Emrakul shenanigans, and it's all of the no funs. So I ended up losing to him. Then I play Kiki Combo, which is using the whole Eldritch Evolution package that Jeff Hoogland's been working with. Mm-hmm. Ended up beating him 72 Valakut damage, might I add, the last game. Wow. Yeah, it was quite I was quite happy with myself. I'm like, yes, this is how we do it. And like, I was trying to calculate it, and he's like, yeah, that's it's a lot of damage. And I think he figured out that he would be able to like maybe reduce it to like 30 or 40 something, but he still would have died. So I was 1-1. Then I went to face I don't know if it was an actual Tron Walkers deck or what it was, because the only Planeswalker I ever saw was Liliana. So if there were more Planeswalkers, I didn't see them. And so I was able to beat that gentleman. Went on to face Nia Burn, and that was an uphill battle. I was happy, though, that it wasn't just like I got smoked. The first game, he actually conceded to me. I guess he must not have had much after those two goblin guides that I got rid of, so I'm not really sure. But then I was 2-2, and my last round opponent didn't show up, so I ended up 3-2. So I took 10th place, and I was really happy with how I played. I didn't really get in any situations where I was overly nervous or anything, or feeling like I had to compose myself. And sometimes that happens, you know, during certain events. I'll have to be like, okay, wait a second, you're taking this like way off the deep end. And I'll have to do like a breathing technique and be like, we gotta relax. But I didn't feel that way. Like the whole time I was relaxed. My goals for this particular event were to either break even or just have fun and get to play against some matchups that I hadn't had any experience with before Indianapolis. So I'm trying to get to as many PPTQs, as many FNMs as I can, just to get some more practice with Valakut under my belt. And of course, I can't play MTG Bay without being silly. I just can't. I don't have it in, I don't have it in me. He's just, I don't know. He's special. we have a good time though. But I had a good time at the event, surrounded by good people, got some more practice in, and yeah, ultimately I'm pleased with how I did.
Yeah, my PPTQ didn't go as well. So to kick things off, you and I went to our regionals, and then after the third or fourth round, they had a modern PPTQ, and we started looking at singles after we walked in the door, and this guy, he was so great. He looks at me and he goes, I know you. Yeah. Are you you're the one who writes for Star City Games, right? And you don't know how badly I wanted to say, no, that's the other trans woman. That's the other one. Like, I'm that one. There's that one. And then Emma made the best joke on Twitter. Emma said, I'm the other trans meat.
What?
Emma said she was the ham to my chicken or the pork to my chicken. And then she said, I'm the other trans meat. So,
oh my God.
So God bless Emma Handy because she's awesome. But I just thought it was funny that he was like, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, yep, that's totally me. And he's like, you write for Star City. And I'm like, you could hear the record stop of, nope, that ain't me. And then he was like, oh, well, you seem nice. Like,
you seem nice.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. So that was fun. So then we go to sit down and I took Dredge and I did terribly. I finished 2-3. One of those wins was a bye. I just had a lot of bad dredges. I kept a lot of bad hands and, I don't know. I just, you know, I really struggled with what to take away from the event. Like I lost to Burn, which made me really angsty. And then I lost to a really sweet guy playing Abzan who was able to stick a scavenging ooze, which I couldn't get rid of with Conflagrate. And, you know, there were just things that happened where I was just like, I just didn't know. You know, it's one of those times where you do so badly that you want to go running to another deck. You want to say, just kind of screw this. I'm out of here. And then you're like, wait a minute. This was a 5-round event. I only played 4 rounds. I don't have enough of a sample size to make that decision. And you're going purely on impulse, you're going purely on feelings. And it took a couple of hours to really sit down and just sort of let logic kind of back into the picture of like, all right, this was one event. You have done pretty well with this deck since you started picking up. It doesn't mean anything. Like, like it just happened. There was nothing really you could have done. You should stick with the deck. And so ultimately I decided that I am going to stick with Modern Dredge. It was just one event. I've been doing consistently well with it since I started playing it. And as far as I know, I'm going to be taking it to a Modern PPTQ, not this weekend, but the next weekend. And then after that, it's GP Indy. So I'm pretty sure at this point that I'm going to be taking Dredge to Indy. But I just had a lot of doubt at the time, and I just didn't know, you know, I'm trying to take away something from an event, and, you know, I didn't want to completely absolve myself and be like, oh, well, it was just bad luck. I wanted to be realistic, but I didn't know what exactly I was supposed to learn from it. And, you know, Chris and I went to dinner, and I was like, I don't know what the lesson is here.
I think that's really, like, great that you're gonna stick with it, because I feel like a lot of people go through those events where it's like, I don't know what I did, but it just didn't work. you know, and I think that's something that a lot of people run into when they've been testing and testing with a deck and it's doing well. And then you get to an event and you're just like, wow, this just did not go my way today. And sometimes it can be hard to kind of see through that. So I'm glad that you're going to, you know, stick with it, because, I mean, I think that's kind of your jam. So mm-hmm. Got to spread it on some bread.
I have to say that's one thing I've learned since I started streaming. You know, my new computer came 2 weeks ago, and I've been streaming Magic kind of off and on. Like, I don't have a set schedule or anything, but one of the things that it's really helped me improve upon is looking at my losses and wins more objectively. I do still have those losses where I'm like, girl, you know, shake your fist. But, you know, I played in a Legacy League last week. Magic Mics didn't record, and so I got to play at my local game store's Legacy night. It ended up not firing, so we didn't have enough people. And so I was like, why don't I just do a league online? Let's just do a Legacy League. Let's stream a Legacy League. And I ended up finishing 2-3, but I had a really good attitude about it. I was really objective about the losses. I was able to clearly identify, like, what I could have done differently, what card contributed to the loss, and I didn't have as much emotion in it as I normally do. And so I feel like that's something streaming has really helped me with, is just being able to kind of remove the emotion from the situation. I mean, don't get me wrong, it felt good to win. Like, I definitely spinned in my chair a couple times, but, you know, when the loss happened, though, it wasn't like, oh God, I lost to a rest in peace, burn everything down. It was like, it was a turn to rest in peace. I didn't have cabal therapy. It was a good hand, you know, just sort of reassessing everything. And, you know, they say that streaming helps you, you know, people get different things out of it. And streaming has definitely helped me, just become more, aware of what I did wrong and be more objective.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's definitely been a good thing, but streaming is hard. You know, you've said it before, but like, you know, just again, just adjusting the windows, and then you got to pick the music you want. And, you know, it's a lot. Like, I have a new respect for streamers, man, because it is work.
Can be definitely work. On that note, I found my train whistle.
Did you?
I didn't know if you guys wanted to hear it, but I said it out.
Do it, Katie. Do it.
I would love to hear your whistle.
Do it. Okay. Here it comes. It's a little high pitched, so I apologize. If you want to mute me, it's okay.
Oh man, we're gonna make you start every episode with that now.
It's like, I took it out. It's a pretty sizable whistle, and I was like, this would be a like a choo choo, and it's definitely just like a.
Like my PPTQ, you know, I thought I was going to go to my PPTQ and choo choo, and I ended up leaving the PPTQ and going choo choo. It just didn't go my way.
That's my train whistle.
Oh man, maybe that should be our thing at events. You know, some people do like the, you know, they'll signal to their friend like a thumbs up or a thumbs down depending on how they did. Maybe we can do like, that'll be like, hey Chris, how'd you do? Choo choo. Like, oh, you did well. Yes, choo choo. Yes. And then if you did poorly, to be like, just acting normal. Changing the game.
Yes.
So is there anything else you guys want to talk about before we wrap up the show?
I have one thing.
Yeah.
I am actually going to be co-hosting Turn One Thoughtseize tomorrow. Yes. With Aaron. Ooh. His co-host Chris is on vacation. And so he asked me if I would co-host with him. And I was like, sure. And I think there will be some other special guests. I don't know who all. But the episode will air this coming Friday, so the same day that ours comes out. I'm not sure what time, so I would just watch the Turn One Thoughtseize Twitter just to see when it drops, and of course I will send out a tweet. And so we'll be talking about Modern and other shenanigans, so I'm really excited to do an awesome podcast with like my MTG BFF.
Yay. That'll be great.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I will be appearing on the Leaving a Legacy podcast tomorrow with our friend Pat Ugolo and his friend Jerry and his other friend Adrian, and I'll be talking about legacy. So that will come out. I know we're recording tomorrow night. I don't know when it's coming out, but I'm really excited. They're all from the East Coast, and one of their friends, they have a co-host named Adrian who's from Jersey, and he has like one of the thickest Jersey accents I've ever heard. And the thing that sticks out in my mind is the one episode I listened to, they were talking about Painter's Servant. And he's so Jersey, he said, penis solvents. And I was like, penis solvents. And I was like, I love you. I was like, I don't know anything about you, but I just want you to be Jersey for me. So we're going to have a really good time. So we're going to talk about legacy. We're going to talk about Dredge. They're going to ask me some questions about you guys and the show and me. And it's going to be a really good time. And they tried doing a Dredge episode before, and somehow it de-evolved into a talk about cell phone plans, and they didn't really end up talking about Dredge. And so they were like, all right, we need somebody who's actually going to discuss the topic this time. And then they called me. So it should be a really good time. They're really great guys. And if you're in the legacy, you should definitely listen to their show because they know what they're talking about, and they're really sweet too.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So if anybody's enjoyed listening to the show, how can they find you all and how can they get a hold of you?
So I'm Hallie. You can find me on Twitter at HalCanSan. That's HalCanSan. You can also find me on Snapchat, HalCanSan, and on Twitch.tv, HalCanSan. Also, if you'll be at GB Portland this weekend, come say hi to me.
And I'm Katie, and you can find me on Twitter at MeanMugger, that's MeanMugger, or on Twitch with my train whistle, twitch.tv/MeanMuggerMTG. I'm going to maybe try for Thursday streaming, but if not, definitely next week, as it's my last week off before school, so I'm going to try and stream most days, get this popper train up and running, or... My Snapchat is katie.neil14, but it's usually just all animals.
All animals, all the time.
Yes.
And I'm Chris. My Twitter is at thkriz. My Gmail is yothkriz@gmail.com. My Snapchat is cryptocommand with Ks, but I'm lazy. Send me things. I'll try to send them back. I don't know. Whereas Aaron is Snapchatting everything, yeah. I can't Snapchat everything. And then my blog is backtablesmtg.wordpress.com. I am hoping to have something up within this week, if not beginning of next.
Oh, and I'm Aaron. You can find me on Twitter at original. I'm the bad one this time. I'm Aaron. You can find me on Twitter at original asterisk. It is OriginalOestrus. You can email me at originalasterisk@gmail.com, twitch.tv/originalasterisk. You can find the show on Twitter at the GF bracket. You can find us on patreon.com/thegirlfriendbracket if you want to support us, financially or with a little bit of money. We come out every Friday on gatheringmagic.com. Thank you all so much for listening, and we will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.